So I generally go over my notes at the beginning and give a little introduction as to what I'm saying just so you guys can follow me a little more easily. This morning, I decided not to do that, but then I think I probably gave it away by choosing what songs I picked anyway. So the reason I decided not to is because as I looked at this one passage, my desire would be to surprise you with what my point is that I decided to pull from this passage. But it's probably too late. But with that, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, we desire that this morning you would reveal to us your goodness. Father, let this morning be a morning of change. Amen. There's a lot of things that I may or may not know. One thing I know is just how much everything that I have I owe to God. Well, I shouldn't say I know how much, but just that I do. How much, I don't know. But just the fact of it. I want to read in Romans 1, starting in verse 18, and I'm going to read a large passage here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with the unrighteousness, with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is quite the passage describing the state of mankind. If we start in these passages, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murderers, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God. Just a couple weeks ago, a guy came into Golden Harvest wearing a coat. And on the back of the coat, he had it spelled differently. He spelled it E-Y-E. But his coat said, I hate God. And then on the side it written down, it says, Children of God. And I walked up to him and I said, so hey, what does your coat mean? And he was like, oh, I don't know. It's more philosophical than you might think. It's actually a rock band, so-and-so and so place. And I was like, okay, oh yeah. And I just started talking to him a little bit. Just started trying to start a little bit of a conversation about the things of God. And he's like, I'm just trying to express myself. I'll buy my energy bar somewhere else. I ran out the door. Haters of God. Where does this start? When I read this passage, I think back to Genesis. The very first chapters in Genesis, we see Cain killing Abel and Cain leaving the presence of God. and starting his own city. Here was a time when mankind in general, though not saved, had a knowledge of God. And they left it. Again after the flood, Noah and his sons, though not necessarily all of them saved, but in general, mankind had a knowledge of God. But they don't anymore. What changed? Here this passage gives us two things which leads the world astray from the knowledge of God. We see that in verse 21, and this brings me to my topic. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That's number one. Neither were thankful. That's number two. I'm not here this morning to give a motivational speech on thankfulness. I'm here to talk about thankfulness. But I'm here to talk about it as sin. Lack of thankfulness is sin that leads you away from God. It's not something to be dealt with lightly. And I'm not planning to deal with it lightly. My purpose, again, is not to give some motivational speech. But my purpose is to endeavor to convict every person who complained this past week, myself included. When I see a man to whom nothing is ever right, a man that it's too hot one day, it's too cold the next, it's snowing today, it's snowing in April, so I can't do this, and something is always messing up his life, I mark that man. And I expect to hear him confess in about 6 months' time that he's having a hard time loving God. Because that's where that attitude leads. It's a serious issue. And I plan on dealing with this seriously this morning. Unthankfulness was one of the two factors that led the whole world astray from a general state to a general state of godlessness. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That is the introduction to this whole passage about the defiled state of mankind. Not glorifying God to the position He deserves, and not thanking Him. If you are unthankful, you are risking your spiritual life. You are halfway in a stream. That will ruin your knowledge of God. By being unthankful. And now I hope you don't have this other factor. Otherwise, you're in deep trouble. You know, you can only grumble about what God has given you for so long before you start grumbling about God Himself. So my second point that I want to deal with this morning is three main things. This is not an exhaustive list, but hindrances to thankfulness. So my first point that I just went over was the dangerous path of unthankfulness. I want to get us all in the somber state to realize just how serious this is. The dangerous path of unthankfulness. Number two, I'm going to look at three different hindrances that I've seen to thankfulness. This is not exhaustive. There's lots of hindrances. But these are three big ones that I've seen multiple times. One, A, the pursuit of happiness. B, pride. C, lack of surrender. The pursuit of happiness. What an interesting thing. We think that we need to be happy before we can be thankful, but we have it completely backwards. The Bible says that he that seeketh after silver shall not be satisfied with silver. But what does Jesus say? He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But he that seeketh after silver shall not be satisfied with silver. The important thing is to hunger and thirst after something that's available. If you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, it's available. The God of heaven looks down at that person and says, this is a hunger and a thirst that I can satisfy. If you're hungry and thirsty after silver, there is no satisfaction. Happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is just hearsay. I don't know where it's written. So I am slow to quote it, but it's a good story, so I need it. Supposedly, there was a time that a young man was talking with C.H. Spurgeon and said to him something like, but I have to be happy, don't I? And Spurgeon says, no. You have to fear God and keep His commandments. That's hitting reality in the face. No, you don't have to be happy. You have to fear God and keep His commandments. For that is the whole duty of man. If your focus is on finding that thing that will make you happy, pursuing happiness, anything that interferes, you're not going to be thankful for. And if you're not thankful for these things, you're never going to be happy. You have this whole picture backwards. Fear God and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the picture. This is the way we need to look at this subject, if ever we will find that happiness we look for. Because no, you don't have to be happy. Many people look at life, they say, I have a right to be happy. I have to be happy, but no. The pursuit of happiness is a great hindrance to thankfulness. And pride. Now, this is a big one. There's different types of pride. Not all pride is arrogance, walking around saying, oh, look at me, I'm this great person. That's what we naturally think of when we think of pride. But not all pride expresses itself that way. Some pride expresses itself in arrogance. Other pride expresses itself in another way. Let me get down right to the point. Because this form of pride I'm going to express today as feminine pride rather than masculine pride. You have the masculine pride, which is arrogance, and the feminine pride, which is the underside. But it's the same pride. Many a person looks in the mirror in the morning and says, oh, I'm so ugly. I wish I had the nose that so-and-so had. But you know what you're saying? You're saying that you know better than God. You could have made a better decision than He made on the nose that He gave you. That is pride to the core. It is not I don't know what psychology calls that attitude today. It's sin. Let's deal with it. That is a sin to be repented of. It's pride. I have an answer for you. If you're the person that doesn't like to face people because you don't like the nose that God gave you or the hair that God gave you or whatever it is, I have a prayer for you to pray. You need to pray, God, humble me to where I don't mind being who I am. God, humble me. It's hard to be thankful for the nose that God gave you when you think you could have given you a better one. It's hard to be thankful for what God made you to be when you think you know better than Him. Pride is a great hindrance to thankfulness. It's hard to be thankful for the weather that God gave us when you think you could have given us better weather if you were in control of it. Pride. Nothing. There are very few things that are going to hinder your ability to be properly thankful, quite like pride. It is a big issue. Lack of surrender. Number C. Or letter C. To the unsurrendered man, anything that interrupts his plans ruins his life. You have these plans. I am going to do this. I go to such and such a city to buy and sell and get gain. God tells us not to have that attitude, but many of us do anyway. And now anything that interrupts your life. Your car breaks down on the way to the city, and your life is ruined because you weren't surrendered to God. It's a big, important thing. We must surrender that attitude, saying, if the Lord wills, I go to such and such a city to buy, sell, and get gain. Adding those four words to the beginning of your plans can change your life. Change your whole outlook. But there's a reason why we have to be thankful. We have a duty to be thankful. This brings me to my third point. And our duty of thankfulness is because just how good our God is. He deserves our thankfulness. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, I guess I'm going to read a few verses here just to get a little context. I'm going to start in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I found some amazing quotes from Spurgeon this week that I want to share with you. We see in verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And on this, Spurgeon says, thanksgiving is the soul of all acceptable singing. Thanksgiving is the soul of all acceptable singing. And I really like that, so I thought I'd just throw that in there. But what else is very interesting is we see the beginning of this passage. He's working up to thankfulness, and then after thankfulness, he switches. And he's talking immediately after verse 20, verse 21, we see submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. And we go on to all these practical things in life. And Spurgeon says on this subject that it would seem that thanksgiving is the preface to a holy life, the foundation of obedience, the vestibule of sanctity. And I like that. Thanksgiving. It seems from this passage that thanksgiving is the preface to a holy life, the foundation of obedience, and the vestibule of sanctity. And a grateful heart is the mainspring of obedience. How obedient is the person that obeys grudgingly after all? Most people end up teaching their children that. And it's important for us to have the same attitude towards God, that a grateful heart is the mainspring of obedience. And we see that in Job. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And how about Paul and Silas in prison? That, we don't have very many details on the story, but the idea of having prisons that are more than just some stone walls and some chains, dungy and dirty, like we have in the States, is the kind of prisons we have now haven't been known in most of the history of the world. We need to stop and think of a prison that's cold and wet with insects and dirt and grime. Having their backs whipped to their torn open and then being laid in here. Probably on their backs on this stone floor. With all their wounds open and getting ground into the dirt. And they're laying there, their feet in the stocks, and they sing. And from where does such singing come? It did not come from the circumstances. We have a completely wrong outlook on life when we think our happiness comes from our circumstances. Those men were singing from an inward song, a song in the heart, a song of gratefulness and gratitude, from which the mainspring of obedience comes. That inward grateful heart and thankfulness that we see in Job as well. You know, in this respect, thankfulness is a check against sin. If we are to be thankful for everything, imagine a thief stealing some money and then having to thank God for it. It's just unthinkable. And so what I am stating today is something that you cannot, with a good conscience, be directly thankful for God for, needs to be abstained from. Never touch that for which you cannot give thanks. Something that I like to throw in every time it's possible is Christ. What Christ has done, the finished work of Christ on the cross. And the foundation of that is the foundation of the Christian life. I said earlier that I wasn't here to give a motivational speech. Church is not a motivational place where we come to and hear a motivational speech once a week. Church is a place where the purpose revolves around Christ and what He's done for us and helping us to live for Him more. But the work of Christ is also the foundation for our thankfulness. We are told here to be thankful for all things. And now this is a strong statement, giving thanks always for all things. There's two alls here that leave us with no space. Either we're doing this or we're not. Giving thanks always for all things, and there's no wiggling out of it. But we will never get to the point where we can be thankful always for all things until we first come to the point where we can be thankful for Christ in all things. That's going to be our first step. We must first be thankful for Christ in all things. We must first be able to start with the attitude where it's winter hasn't left and it's April 21st. But we can turn away from that and still be thankful because of what Christ has done. That's the foundation before we are ever going to be able to look on these circumstances and actually be thankful for them by faith. First, we must learn to be thankful for Christ in all things. Because, you know, anybody can be thankful when the fig tree blossoms. And I'm speaking of that from one of the minor prophets. And I don't know my minor prophets well enough, so I had to put a bookmark in there this morning. Habakkuk 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. again. This is the real thankfulness that I'm speaking of. Thankfulness that doesn't change with the circumstances. Real thankfulness is not the beautiful song of the robin that leaves every winter. It's the simple song of the chickadee that's always there. Summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. I'm not talking about some dramatic overflow of emotion. I'm just talking about that simple, everyday heart attitude towards God. A thankfulness, continuing, that never changes, never wavers, never leaves. Imagine a martyr now. And a man that's martyring him says, I'm going to banish you. Banish me? This isn't my home anyway. I'm going to take away your property. Take away my property? I don't own anything. I'm going to take away your good name. Good name? I'm already the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things. I'm going to put you in prison. Put me in prison. My body isn't what matters. I'm free. Christ has already made me free. I'm going to kill you. So be it. I've already mortified the flesh. And then all that means is I get a short way to my home in heaven where I can live the real life. Thankfulness can't change. I forget the guy's name. I wanted to write it down. I should have written it down and I didn't. But one of the martyrs that Bloody Mary, Queen Mary, was martyred, and I forget all the details of the story, but he says, I have no quarrel with Mary. If she kill me, she says, if she lets me go, I'll thank her. If she puts me in prison, I'll thank her. If she kills me, I'll thank her. I have no quarrel with Mary. That is the attitude. Again, this unchangeable attitude of our heart towards God, of a deep and grounded thankfulness that is laid on that firm foundation of the work of Christ and what He has done for us, a thankfulness that cannot change, and compared to that, nothing really matters. Another interesting thing that I throw in here is, why do we always thank God when we get in an accident? You've been driving to work 15 miles a day, 10 miles a day, 1 mile a day, whatever, for years. Never got in an accident. Never stopped and thanked God either. Here one day, bam, your truck pulls out in front of you and you get in an accident, but nobody's hurt. And so next time we have church, you stand up and just thank God for His goodness of protection. Is it not better when you didn't get in an accident? Sometimes I think God does that to us just to wake us up to reality. You have food on your table. Ever since you can remember, you've never had a time where a meal came when you didn't have food to eat. And you've always thanked God for your food, but you never really stop and think about it. But now if you ran out of food for a while, that first meal you got, you'd be extremely thankful. Why would you be more thankful? Did not God supply every other meal you had? You've had health all your life. You can't ever remember being actually ill. I mean, you've got sicknesses, but you've been healthy. You never really stop to think about it and actually thank God for the health. He would have to take it away from you first. Why? Why are we like that? You have money. You've always had money to pay your bills. But now imagine if you lost everything. Absolutely everything. And then it was given back to you. Imagine the gratefulness you would feel. Why don't you feel that now? Is it not because we actually, somewhere in our hearts, we feel like we have control right now? the grace bestowed on you and on me at salvation is enough to indebt us to an eternity of praise and thankfulness. How much more with these day-to-day graces that He gives us that we know nothing about? That we only notice when He almost removes them. When we get in an accident and almost get hurt, and then we notice the graces that He's been given to us for these so many years. If you were to serve the God we serve for 1,000 lives and die 1,000 deaths as a martyr, it would be a small price. It would be a small return, I should say, for what He has done for you. And can you be slack in thanking Him? He gave you feet. Can you not march to the music of thankfulness? He gave you hands. Can you not fold them in a prayer, thank Him for what He's done? He gave you breath. Can you not breathe thankfulness? He gave you a voice. Can you not talk about what He's done? Look behind you and thank you for where He's brought you. Look ahead of you and thank Him for the promised grace to bring you safe to heaven. Look underneath and thank Him for delivering you from hell. Look above and thank Him for promised heaven. Look to the right. Thank Him for the friends that He's given you. Look to the left. Thank Him for all the blessings that you don't know about. Thank Him. We're not to be thankful for no reason. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we just want to thank You for all You've done. We especially want to thank You for Christ, and we thank You that we have a reason to be thankful. Amen.